You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the first Sunday after Christmas, December 27, 2015, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he who, of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, if you were at the 8 o'clock service, the psalm about finding God in the cold would have more meaning. Lex didn't tell me when he went out of town that he was going to turn off the heat. So anyway, it's still okay to say Merry Christmas, even though your neighbors may have turned off those Christmas lights. And yes, it's true that we get 12 full days to contemplate the amazing mysteries associated with our Savior's birth. Now, we've already, according to the story, encountered the heralding angels, and if you were at the 4 o'clock, you saw them personally. We've met an array of barn animals and shepherds in the fields, a star of Bethlehem, a host of angels, and the brand new parents, Mary and Joseph, with their baby Jesus. But wait, before we move on, have you and I chiseled long enough and deep enough into the many layers of the Christmas story to discover the depth of the mystery? Today's gospel story from John is an alternative Christmas story. It's far too expansive to be captured by a traditional Christmas pageant, as wonderful as our pageants are. And it's rolled out before us in poetic imagery that is eternal and beyond any human conception of time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This grand and cosmic story of how God came to be born into our world bears little resemblance to the more secular version of Santa, as wonderful as Santa is, bringing all those gifts. I even got a toy this year from Santa. But also the Gospel of John doesn't really tell the familiar Bethlehem Christmas story either. You know, the one centered on Mary and Joseph and the babe sleeping in the manger. In the beginning. This is a phrase full of meaning. And the Jews who first heard this opening act to the Gospel of John would have recognized it as part of the creation story of Genesis. So in other words, Christmas takes us all the way back to the beginning. Both Genesis and the prologue to the Gospel of John are accounts of how our God created a world through the power of eternal and life-giving love known as the Word. It reveals a creation that is in process of a new birth. It also speaks about how glorious light comes into being to dispel the darkness of the world. And it also speaks of the dynamic energy that connects all of us, even with all the creatures. This is our destiny in Christ, we are told in John. We all know that darkness can take many forms, and unfortunately in 2015 it really did. There's violence and corruption, deceit and forgery, betrayal and coercion. Darkness is known by so many names. One of the forms darkness takes, especially this time of year, is the darkness of loneliness. And just to be clear, I'm not talking about that wonderful contemplative solitude that we feel when all the hustle and bustle has slowed down a little bit. When we're quiet inside and still we feel that connection to God and all of creation. And yes, even our family, who may just see things differently. But if you're invited to a lot of holiday parties, right, you can still feel lonely in a large, merry crowd. And even standing near a Christmas tree surrounded by a lot of wonderful and sometimes expensive presents, you can still feel a little empty. And then I also think of our brothers and sisters living on the cold, wet streets this time of year. And the growing number of hungry and homeless people each year peering into the display windows in department stores, looking at worlds that they will never really fully be able to enter. And so it's no wonder that sometimes the darkness is so thick that we're tempted to say it is the season to be lonely. And that is why I think today's Christmas creation story speaks to us of something we all need to hear. It speaks of a healing word from our loving Creator, whose very nature is relational and has overcome many obstacles to find his way through all the stars and sometimes the muck in our lives to touch us with a personal message of mercy and grace. Now, my Christmas was a little different this year. It began as a story of creation. In other words, Genesis. A lifelong friend of mine, after losing his wife to brain cancer just a few short years ago, was married again. And the new bride had her own story of longing for many years for intimacy that only lifelong companionship can bring. It had taken her many years to find a special person. Now, the wedding was not the usual service from our Episcopal prayer book. The ceremony began in complete darkness, as the story from Genesis was told, and the families and the guests listened intently. Eventually, you could make out little people with masked animal faces and birds, and eventually the entire sanctuary was filled with light. It was filled with the kind of hope and promise that we all deeply yearn for at Christmas, and it revealed a God who is constantly leading us out of loneliness and leading us into relationship. And here are those familiar words in this setting. "It is not good," God said, "for man or woman to be alone. I will bring you love and companionship to last a lifetime." For the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There's a side to the Christmas story that often isn't captured by our music or art and even prayers. Often we forget how terribly lonely large portions of Mary and Joseph and Jesus' journey really was. We are tempted to forget that they were real people walking through real events in their own lives, and they often felt inadequately prepared or financially challenged, under-resourced, and without enough family and friends to support them. Joseph didn't have to take the pregnant Mary to Bethlehem. The Roman government at that time only required that the male head of house come register for taxes. It is likely that Mary, scandalously pregnant, had been rejected by her family and even his. They were alone with God. But to Bethlehem, and Joseph and Mary traveled onward in faith, and unfortunately, many closed doors awaited them in Bethlehem. And I often think of all those closed doors, shut, shut, shut. There is no room in the inn. If they had close relatives and friends who cared about them, don't you think that they would have been inviting the laboring Mary inside, helping the worried Joseph to know that they're going to be okay? But there is no family really present in Bethlehem. And the story mentions no nurse or no childbirth coach, no family members attending to their needs while they huddled in a cold, dark cave fit only for animals. And yet, the dark shroud of darkness that had descended on the Holy Family was not dark enough to suppress a true light from entering and transforming their relationships and transforming eventually our world. A profound act of creation had begun. For the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Like a distress beacon which calls for help and simultaneously is a source for help, the crowning work of God's creation began in Christmas. Jesus arrives, our Savior, born into our hearts anew so that we might not ever be lonely. Keep this Christmas spirit alive. You have 12 days, but then all the rest of the year for sure. Visit someone who you know is feeling sad and alone. It could be someone that you know well, or it could be a neighbor who never has any visitors. Keep the faith and be ever watchful for the light. And most importantly, make room in your own hearts for the inn to be there. There are a lot of angelic messengers and wise men coming along the way to help us in this journey. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.